Okay, first step, download the software. Click the download icon. It's gonna click up a pop-up. It's gonna ask you for a username and password. Username is Patreon. Try that again. The password is KM6LYW2021. So, and I emailed Craig, had a little email exchange with him, and he's fine with people use, you know, he's, because I said, hey, I'm teaching a class, you know, there's probably going to be a dozen people. And he said, oh, that's fine. He said, give him the password and the username. He said, but you're the support. Tell him not to call me. Okay, that's reasonable.
Please repeat that password.
It's K Kilo Mike 6 Lima Yankee Whiskey, KM6LYW 2021.
Thank you.
And like I said, it's on the slides, so it's in the PDF. Okay, next thing is going to make your life super easy. If you're new to pies, go to the Raspberry Pi Foundation. Or not, excuse me, don't go to the foundation, go to raspberrypi.com because that's where they have their free software. This Raspberry Pi Imager makes life with a Pi so much simpler. I remember when the Pi first came out and all the grief you had to go through to flash an SD card to get, you know, to get the operating system set up and all this. This is literally three buttons to set up a Raspberry Pi SD card. So there's no reason to be shy about experimenting around with Pis. If you break something, just image a new SD card, swap them out, and you're good to go. So the Raspberry Pi Imager, you want to get that. All right, and then imaging an SD card. Like I said, this is, all right, lied. It's four buttons, not three. Okay. So the first thing you need to do is you need to choose what kind of device, because the imager is going to make sure all the firmware, all the files that are needed to support that particular Pi variant are included in the image. Where you used to, the images used to be much bigger because you had to basically throw the entire kitchen sink at it. This way, now you just get a file size that's focused to the device you're setting up. Not as big a deal though, since you can go to Walmart. I got two 32 gig SD cards for $12. So, I mean, storage now, SD cards are absurdly cheap. So, this isn't as big a factor, but it is a big convenience. Okay, second button, it's going to ask you what you want to put on your Pi. In this case, you scroll all the way down to the bottom where it says Use Custom. You click on Use Custom, and it's going to bring up a file picker. And if you did these in order, you downloaded the DigiPi image, and it's sitting in the download folder on your computer. So when it pops up the picker, you just go to your download folder and pick. You don't even have to unzip that image. This is smart enough to do the unzip on the fly. So you just point it at the downloaded image and click OK. And then for storage, the only reason I highlight this is on some machines, it is possible to image your main disk. So if you want your brand new shiny Windows 11 machine to all of a sudden be a Raspberry Pi,
Yeah.
pick the wrong storage.
Yeah.
It will form, it'll format and write to your main system disk. So all you really have to know about this is the size. If you see one that says it's a terabyte, another one that says it's 32 gigs, yeah, pick the
That's the right
32
one.
gig, pick the small one. All right, the other thing, this, if you're experimenting with Pis in general, this is really good, this edit settings, because it used to be you had to go, once you plugged your Pi in, you had to go find it on your network somewhere. Here you can preload all kinds of things. You can change the device name. You can pre-populate the user account, user password, all the Wi-Fi information, so that when you stick the SD card in, boom, it shows up on your Wi-Fi network. You can see what it's called and you can go to town. We aren't using that in this situation because DigiPi is also a Wi-Fi hotspot. So if you're out in the field somewhere and you need to interact with your Pi, it's like, well, wait a minute, there's no Wi-Fi here. Well, if the Pi can't talk to the Wi-Fi you told it was its home, it flips back to Wi-Fi hotspot mode. So if you're sitting out in the field doing, you know, and you're playing around with APRS, it reverts to Wi-Fi, you know, to a Wi-Fi hotspot, and you just connect your phone, your laptop, whatever you got, to the Wi-Fi hotspot. Boom, now you can interact with it. So this is why we don't change the settings on this. There's a certain way to, there's a certain order of operations with DigiPi that makes it go smoothly. If you don't follow the instructions, you spend a lot of time chasing your tail. You know, experience is the best teacher, but hopefully you can all learn from my experience and not go down a lot of empty rabbit holes. So say no when it says apply custom settings, and then Imgur will go to town. Depending on the speed of your computer, the whole imaging process takes, you know, a minute, minute and a half. So it's not a big time commitment. I would say, just because you are going to make mistakes along the way with this, image a couple, you know, a couple, three SD cards at the same time. So if you mess one up, you can just power down the Pi, pull out the SD card, put a fresh one in, and start again. So, all right, prep for the 02W. Not much. Now, I opted for, because I didn't have any Pi 02Ws for this project. So, there we go. So I bought a Pi 02W from Adafruit. Nice little plastic case here. I think that was another $2 or $3. And then the display. And here's the prep work to get the display and the Pi to work together. Okay, Pi's ready.
Nice.
That was it. Okay, AIOC. Now, they tend to be more in stock as kits than they are as pre-assembled units, because I think NA6D is the guy who's currently... This is an open source design, because the Toad's interface is also based on this reference design. The form factor's different. But basically, this is open hardware, and the project has been passed around to a couple different people. NA6D is the current steward of the all-in-one cable project. And when he builds them up by himself, so he typically does not have them in stock as built units as much as he does kit units. But he does a lot of nice prep work for you on the kit side. You order the kit, you get this very, very nice 3D printed fixture, which makes, if you're intimidated by soldering anything, this drops the factor by 50%. All you have to do is not make a cold joint. This fixture will take care of aligning all the contacts and everything for you, and acts as your third hand. So this I would highly recommend. If you're a beginner to kit building and you want to try something that's drop dead simple, do a dummy load first, do this second.
The assembled one's only available on pre-order right now. We ordered one that's still showing as pre-order. So if you want it, you'll have to do the kit, I guess.
Yeah. And that's the thing. If enough people get them, come out here on a Saturday. There's plenty of people around here who know how to solder. It can help you out, show you how to do it, and get it running. And there's not really a whole lot to get running. That's step one. Step two is put the connectors in the fixture. Step three is slide the board in. You sandwich the board. Basically, you have three sets of contacts like this. You sandwich the board like this, and the fixture already lines everything up. So So at this point, solder here, solder here, solder here, solder here. Flip it over, two solder connections on the back. So a grand total of 6 solder joints, you're done. And if you're fancy, you can buy the little 3D printed enclosure. I don't know if the STL files are available or not, if you want to print your own, but I can never get something to print perfectly the first time, so I've got to do it a bunch of times. It was just easier to pay the couple of bucks that he wanted for one of his. And then now that AIOC is ready to go. Okay, then you need to do the cable. All right, any good old USB-C cable that is not just a charge cable. So if it's a USB-C cable that you use for connecting something to something else where data is syncing, it'll be okay. It's got the right connections. But here's the big problem. This is a quarter wave at 2 meters. What frequency is APRS on?
2 meters.
Okay. So now you've got an antenna plugged into your Baofeng radio, which shielding is, I don't know, a suggestion rather than a rule. So you're going to have issues with it. Now, if you've got a smaller cable, like a 2 or 3 foot, you're pretty good. You shouldn't have any issues. But this was all I had hanging around, and this is a quarter wave at 2 meters, and it basically would, every time it would key up, it would brick the radio. So what I wound up doing is I've got these little snap-on ferrites, and the snap-on ferrites, you just wind a couple of turns of cable through each snap-on. The snap-on ferrites, you can get them off of Amazon. I think I bought a collection of 15 or 20 of them for 20 bucks. In any situation, have them in your shack. I mean, these are great RFI, you know, suppression tools.
That cable, is that C to C or is it micro to C?
In this case, because I'm talking using a Pi, it's a micro on this end, it's a C on this end. You could also use a micro to C adapter. There's a bunch of different ways to do it.
Thank you.
So, again, I ordered this cable. Let's see. Oh, it's a StarTech. I also ordered this from Adafruit. So that is if you're having problems like when your HT keys up and all of a sudden things start going haywire, you've got an RFI problem, and this is step one to eliminating the RFI.